Okay, let's unpack this. We are diving into something truly fascinating today. We've got a snapshot, really a pulse check, of the market on one specific day, Thursday, June 12th, 2025. And what we're zeroing in on is this thing called unusual trading activity.
Right.
Now, that might sound a bit technical, maybe dry, but really it just means certain stocks saw, well, a ton more action than they normally do, just completely out of whack with their usual rhythm.
Yeah, think of it like watching traffic on your street, right? Most days it's predictable. A few cars, maybe a delivery van. But then on June 12th, for some of these stocks, it was suddenly like a massive street party just erupted. Gridlock. Huge numbers of shares trading hands compared to what you'd normally see for them. Way, way higher than Apple.
Exactly. That sudden commotion. And when you see that kind of unexpected buzz, it's a signal. It tells you something is definitely going on. Someone, or probably lots of someones, were suddenly very, very interested in buying or selling those specific stocks on that day. And we actually have this list, a list of the stocks that really stood out with this high volume on June 12th. So our mission, our goal for this deep dive is to take this data, this snapshot, overlay it with the big forces, the major themes driving the market right now, and try to figure out, you know, what stories this unusual activity is telling us. What's grabbing the market's attention?
Right. We'll kick off by setting the scene. Mm-hmm. What are the big picture narratives that investors are really focused on? The context, basically. Mm-hmm. Then we'll dig into what unusual volume actually means as a market signal. Why does it matter?
Okay.
And then the fun part, we'll spotlight specific examples from this list we have. Mm-hmm. And it's a real mix. You've got your household tech giants, but also these tiny companies you've probably never even heard of. We want to see how those big themes play out in the real trading of individual stocks.
Yeah, understanding the signals and all that noise, figuring out the why behind the spike.
Exactly. Extracting some unique insights from just this one day's data.
And this isn't just, looking back at old stock charts. It's about building a way to think about what catches the market's eye right now, how to interpret these signals going forward. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's start there. Those big picture narratives. What are the major currents shaping where the money's flowing as of June 12th?
Okay. So looking at the data we have from that day, June 12th, there are pretty clearly three dominant narratives acting like giant magnets for investor attention and, frankly, capital. Mm-hmm. And these aren't just quick fads. They seem to represent really significant ongoing shifts in technology, health, and energy.
Okay, three big ones. And I bet I can guess the first one. It feels like it's everywhere. Artificial intelligence, AI expansion.
You got it. Absolutely. It's almost impossible to ignore, and the market activity really bears that out. Mm-hmm. The core idea here, the narrative, is just the sheer speed of AI development and how it's getting woven into, pretty much everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the really complex stuff, the machine learning for deep data analysis. Then you have the generative AI tools everyone's talking about, creating text, images, code.
Yeah.
And also just the growing automation in businesses, big and small, powered by these intelligent systems. It's broad.
So within that huge AI story, where specifically is the market interest focusing? Where is the unusual activity likely showing up?
Well, the data points to a few key areas.
Yeah.
First, there's the foundational layer. Think the company's actually making the really powerful semiconductor chips. Those specialized chips are absolutely critical for training and running these massive AI models. Without them.
No AI.
Pretty much, yeah. The whole engine stops. So huge interest there. Then you've got the companies developing the AI software itself. Platforms, the algorithms, the specific applications that businesses and regular people use.
Okay, chips and software.
And then there's this third group, which is maybe less obvious, but just as important. It's companies across all sorts of industries that are smartly plugging AI into their existing stuff, using it to add new features, mm-hmm. get way more efficient, or even create totally new ways of doing business.
Right. And why now? Why this intense hype and focus right at this moment?
Good question. It seems to be a convergence of a few things, according to what we're seeing. First, just the sheer pace of breakthroughs. It feels like every week there's a new model, a new capability announced. The tech is just moving incredibly fast.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
Totally. Second, the potential for productivity gains is becoming much clearer. Businesses are really starting to see how AI can, automate the boring stuff, crush data like never before, help make better decisions, and that translates directly to potential cost savings and new revenue. It's a big hook.
Money talks.
Always. Third, the sheer scale of investment. I mean, the big tech companies, VCs, governments, they are pouring billions into AI, R&D, and infrastructure. Yeah. That creates its own momentum. And lastly, it's becoming less abstract. Mm. It's showing up in apps we use, customer service chats, design tools, business software. It feels more real, more tangible now.
So all that together, the speed, the potential payoff, the huge investment, and just seeing it everywhere, that's fueling this massive AI narrative.
Exactly. It's a potent mix.
Okay. AI is definitely reshaping things. What's the second major narrative driving the market action on June 12th?
That would be biotechnology and healthcare innovation. This whole narrative revolves around pushing the boundaries of medical science, mm-hmm. developing new treatments, improving health through really cutting-edge stuff.
Okay, biotech. This always feels like a high-stakes area, right? Huge potential, but also big risks.
Absolutely. And it seems like right now we're in a period where some significant advancements are really capturing attention.
Yeah.
The focus areas are pretty interesting. Things like genetic engineering technologies like CRISPR that let scientists potentially edit genes to fix inherited diseases.
Yeah.
That's groundbreaking stuff.
Wow.
Then there are cell therapies, where they actually use modified living cells to fight diseases, especially certain types of cancer, another major frontier. There's also a huge push always for new drugs for diseases that are still really tough to treat. Think oncology, neurological conditions like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, areas with huge unmet needs.
And better diagnostics too, I guess. Finding things earlier.
Exactly. Making diagnosis faster, more accurate, catching diseases when they're more treatable. That's a big part of it.
So what's specifically driving the hype in biotech right now? Why is it so prominent on our June 12th snapshot?
Well, the data suggests a few key drivers. You mentioned CRISPR breakthroughs, like mm-hmm. that have genuinely opened up therapeutic avenues that were science fiction just, you know, a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're also seeing real clinical successes with newer cancer treatments, things like immunotherapies that use the body's own defenses. That builds confidence. Plus, there's just this constant global need for better treatments for diseases where we don't have great options yet. That drives enormous R&D investment. And demographically, the world's population is aging, which naturally increases demand for more advanced healthcare and therapies.
That makes sense.
And one more thing, maybe a bit more recent. The experience with COVID vaccines and treatments. Developing those so quickly showed what's possible when science and regulation move fast. It kind of injected this optimism, this belief in rapid progress into the whole sector.
Interesting. So a combination of fundamental science breakthroughs, ongoing need, demographics, and maybe a recent shot of optimism about development speed.
Yeah, I think that captures the drivers well.
Okay, AI and biotech pushing boundaries. What's the third big narrative?
The third dominant theme is the renewable energy and electrification transition. This is all about the massive global shift away from fossil fuels, mm-hmm. moving towards cleaner energy sources and using electricity for, well, way more things, especially transport, industry, homes.
Right. So this is way beyond just like putting solar panels on your roof.
Yeah. Oh, much bigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It covers companies generating power from all the renewables, solar, wind, geothermal, even emerging stuff like green hydrogen. It also includes the absolutely critical area of battery technology. Storage is key for renewables, mm-hmm. right? Because the sun doesn't always shine, wind doesn't always blow.
Sure.
And batteries are also fundamental for electric vehicles, obviously. So that leads to the companies actually making EVs and the companies building out the charging infrastructure needed to support them. It's a whole ecosystem.
And what's pushing this narrative forward so strongly right now? What are the forces behind this transition and the investment flowing into it?
Number one is probably the urgency around climate change. There's just increasing global pressure to cut carbon emissions, and that translates into policy.
Policy like government incentives.
Exactly. Mm. Governments worldwide are putting policies and serious money behind this. The data mentions the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act in the U.S. as a key example. Huge tax credits, funding for clean energy manufacturing, EV adoption, the works. That's a massive tailwind. Also, critically, the cost of renewable tech, solar, wind, batteries, has just plummeted over the last decade or so. They're increasingly cost competitive with, or even cheaper than, fossil fuels in many places. Economics are starting to align.
That's a huge factor.
Absolutely. And finally, you just have growing consumer demand. People want EVs, they want sustainable energy options. That pulls the market along too.
So client pressure, government support, falling costs, and consumer demand, a powerful combination driving this renewable transition narrative.
Yep. It creates this reinforcing cycle, drawing more and more investment.
Okay, let me recap. So the big three narratives shaping the market view on June 12th are AI fundamentally changing tech and business, biotech pushing the limits of medicine, and the renewable energy transition reshaping energy and infrastructure. Got it. Why is knowing this background, this context, so important when we start looking at the specific stocks with unusual activity?
Because these narratives, they're like the main currents in the ocean,
yeah.
right? They influence everything. They guide where R&D budgets go. They drive M&A activity. They shape government policy. And ultimately, they direct where huge amounts of capital, trillions globally, are being invested.
Okay.
So when you see a stock suddenly pop with unusual volume, knowing if it connects to one of these powerful themes gives you immediate crucial context. It helps you understand the macro wind that might be filling that stock's microsales.
Right. It helps connect the specific event to the bigger picture, like knowing the weather forecast before looking at the waves.
Perfectly put. It helps you understand the potential why behind the what.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. So speaking of the unusual volume itself on June 12th, let's go back to that signal. What does it actually look like in the data, and why is it considered such an important flag?
Yeah, in simple terms, unusual trading volume is just a stock trading way more shares on a particular day than it normally does. You compare the volume on that day, say June 12th, to its average daily volume over maybe the last month or 3 months.
Okay.
So if a stock usually trades, I don't know, a million shares a day, and suddenly on June 12th it trades 10 million or 20 million or even more, that's unusual volume. It jumps off the page.
Right, the sudden crowd gathering where it's usually quiet. And you often hear headlines focused just on the price change, stock X soars 20%. But you're emphasizing that the volume behind that move is often the more fundamental signal to look at.
Precisely, yeah. Look, price change is the result. Right. It's the outcome of supply meeting demand on that day.
Mm-hmm.
More buyers than sellers, price goes up, or sellers' price goes down. Simple enough. But volume tells you about the level of participation, the intensity of the interest. A stock price could technically move a lot on very low volume if just one big buy order or sell order goes through without much else happening.
Okay, I see.
But a big price move that happens on high, unusual volume, that tells you something different. It means lots of people, lots of trades are involved. There's widespread interest, or maybe a strong consensus or a reaction to news that's driving that price change. It suggests there's real conviction behind the move.
Conviction, whether it's based on solid news or maybe just speculation or something else entirely.
Exactly. The volume indicates that something significant has captured the market's attention about that company on that day.
So high volume equals heightened attention. It's a signal that says, hey, look over here. Something's happening.
That's it. Exactly. That's a flag that warrants digging deeper. And the list we're looking at today is specifically designed to highlight those stocks where this look over here signal was loudest on Thursday, June 12, 2025.
Yeah.
It's like a forensic snapshot, right? Showing us where the energy, the focus, the debate was most intense on that single day. It's not predicting the future, but it's telling us what mattered then.
Fascinating. Okay, so armed with the big narratives and this understanding of volume as a key signal, let's finally crack open this snapshot from June 12th. Let's look at some specific compelling examples from the list. Where should we start? Maybe with one that fits squarely into one of those major themes we discussed.
Yeah, perfect place to start. A prime example jumping out from the list is Oracle Corporation, ticker ORCL. Most people have heard of Oracle, right? A massive multinational tech corporation. They're deep in the technology sector, specifically software and cloud services. Think databases, enterprise software, and increasingly, their cloud infrastructure.
A real giant. And their signal on June 12th was, well, pretty loud. Oracle saw its trading volume spike up to over 54 million shares.
Yeah, 54 million.
Now, just for context, their normal daily volume is usually somewhere in the, say, 15 to 25 million share range. So jumping to 54 million, that's a huge increase for a company that's already heavily traded and enormous.
It really is.
And the price definitely reacted. It jumped over 13% in just that one day. Moved from around $176 up near $200. $199.72 was the close.
That level of activity, that much volume, and that kind of price move for a company Oracle size, that's a really significant signal.
Mm-hmm.
And the why becomes pretty clear when you look at its connection to the narratives. It scores a high 9 out of 10 correlation to that AI expansion narrative we talked about.
Ah, okay.
So the intense interest in Oracle on June 12th, the thing driving that volume and price surge, was directly tied to its role within the whole AI ecosystem.
Really? Oracle isn't always the first name that pops into my head when I think AI compared to maybe some others. How does it connect so strongly?
That's a fair point. They're not always front and center in the AI hype machine, but they are absolutely critical to the infrastructure that makes a lot of AI possible.
Mm-hmm.
The data highlights that Oracle is a major player in providing the cloud computing power the data centers, the servers, the fast networking that companies need to train and run these really large, complex AI models.
Right. Training AI takes massive computing power.
Immense power. And cloud providers like Oracle are basically selling shovels during this AI gold rush, providing access to that power. And beyond that, Oracle is also weaving AI capabilities directly into its own huge suite of enterprise software products, making their databases, their HR software, their supply chain tools smarter.
So adding value to their core business using AI.
Exactly. And as this massive company with deep hooks into corporations worldwide, they're really well positioned to benefit as businesses everywhere ramp up their AI adoption.
Okay, so the market woke up on June 12th, saw that volume spike, and basically said, hey, Oracle is a crucial piece of the AI plumbing, and they're embedding AI themselves. This is valuable.
That seems to be the story the volume tells, yes. They're a foundational part of the AI puzzle, especially for big businesses. Just looking at their snapshot detail quickly, HQ in Austin, Texas, huge workforce, like 160,000 to 180,000 employees globally, listed on the New York Stock Exchange.
And financially, they look pretty solid, right? Mature, profitable.
Yeah, very much so. Estimated earnings per share, EPS, is positive and growing around $4.80 this year, maybe $5.20 next year expected. Strong growth projections, maybe 10% annually for the next 5 years. And their margins are really healthy. Gross margins in the 75-80% range, operating margins 40-45%, profit margins 30-35%. That's a profitable machine.
Wow. And ownership, I see significant insider ownership, around 40-45%, mostly Larry Ellison, right? Plus big institutional ownership too, 50-55%.
That's right. High insider conviction, strong institutional backing, and analysts, generally positive. Ratings like buy or hold, often pointing specifically to their cloud growth and, you guessed it, their AI positioning as reasons for optimism.
So the insight here from Oracle is that even for a massive, well-known tech giant, a volume surge like this, tied to a powerful narrative like AI, can still happen and drive significant price movement. It wasn't just random noise.
Absolutely. It was the market clearly reevaluating and emphasizing Oracle's role as a fundamental enabler of the AI boom. It shows the AI benefits aren't just for the flashy startups, but for the infrastructure players too.
Okay, great example. Let's shift from AI to that second big narrative, biotechnology and healthcare innovation. You mentioned this sector is known for volatility, often driven by specific events like clinical trial results.
Oh, definitely. Biotech investing can be a roller coaster. Many of these companies are essentially R&D shops, burning through cash trying to develop the next blockbuster drug. Success means a potential jackpot. Failure can mean, well, not much left.
High risk, high reward.
Exactly. That structure makes them incredibly sensitive to news about their drug candidates. And our June 12th list has a couple of really stark examples of this.
Okay, who's first?
Let's look at UroGen Pharma Ltd. Ticker is URGN. UroGen is what's called a clinical stage biotech. That means their main game is developing and testing potential new drugs in clinical trials. They don't have big products selling on the market yet. Their specific focus is on treatments for urothelial cancers, that's cancers in the lining of the urinary system, and related diseases.
Okay, clinical stage, cancer focus. And the signal from June 12th, tell me it was big.
It was huge. UroGen's trading volume exploded to 19 million shares.
Mm-hmm.
19 million.
Oh, and their usual volume is...
usually much, much lower.
Yeah.
Like 500,000 to maybe 1 million shares on a typical day. So 19 million is just... an absolute surge of activity.
Unbelievable. And the price must have gone nuts, too.
It did. Jumped almost 50%. 49.73%, to be exact.
Yeah.
Went from about $7.30 up to nearly $11, 10.83.
Okay, a 50% jump on like 40 times normal volume for a clinical biotech, that screams major news event, right?
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of move strongly suggests positive news dropped. Or maybe there was intense anticipation of news. Could be positive trial results, maybe good feedback from regulators like the FDA, perhaps a partnership deal announced, something significant.
Then obviously a high correlation to the biotech narrative.
Nailed it. 9 out of 10. It's textbook biotech catalyst movement. They're based in New Jersey, also have operations in Israel. Smaller company, maybe 150, 200 employees.
Mm-hmm.
Listed on the NASDAQ.
Now, financials. I'm guessing these look very different from Oracle's profit machine.
Night and day, yeah. Estimated EPS for UroGen is negative. Around minus $2.48 this year. Projected maybe minus $2 next year. Margins are very low or negative.
Negative earnings, negative margins. That sounds bad, but you're saying for a company like this, it's normal?
Yes. And this is a really crucial point for understanding clinical stage biotech. Negative financials are not only normal, they are expected at this stage. Their business isn't making profits now. It's investing heavily burning cash on very expensive research and clinical trials. The whole goal is to hopefully get a drug approved years down the road, which then could generate huge revenue and profits.
So their value isn't based on current earnings, but almost entirely on the potential success of the drugs they're developing in their pipeline.
Exactly. It's all about the pipeline potential.
Yeah.
The science. The probability of success in trials and getting regulatory approval.
Which means if you're investing here, you're making a bet on that future breakthrough. It's not a short-term income play.
Definitely not. The data suggests a medium to long-term hold for this kind of biotech growth potential tied to those clinical and regulatory milestones.
And ownership. Institutions seem to like it.
Yeah, strong institutional ownership, around 60-70%. That's common in biotech, where deep scientific analysis is needed, which institutions often have resources for. Analysts are generally positive, too, rating it a buy based on the perceived potential of their main drug candidate. But they always highlight the huge risks. Trials can fail late stage. Regulators might not approve it. It's never a sure thing.
Right. So the insight from UroGen's wild ride on June 12th is that this massive volume and price spike is the market reacting or maybe anticipating a major positive catalyst related to their drug development. It perfectly shows that high stakes, event-driven nature of this sector.
Couldn't have said it better. It's classic clinical biotech in action.
Okay. Who's the second biotech example showing similar dynamics?
That would be Sagimet Biosciences, Inc. Ticker SGMT. Sagimet is another clinical stage biotech. Their focus is different, though. They work on metabolic and liver diseases. This is a really hot area of research, often including conditions like NASH or MASH, that's non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, or metabolic dysfunction-associated steatohepatitis, basically fatty liver disease that gets serious.
Affects a lot of people, right, and not many treatments.
Exactly. Huge patient population, very limited effective treatments currently available. So a successful drug here could be enormous.
Okay, so high potential market, and their signal on June 12th. Similar story to UroGen.
Similar pattern, yeah.
Right.
Significant volume jump, 9 million shares traded compared to an average that's probably also around 500,000 to 1 million. So maybe 10, 15 times normal volume. And a big price jump, too, over 37%. Went from about $6.19 up to $8.50.
Another one basically screaming potential catalyst, or maybe just sudden intense interest in their specific area.
Definitely points to something specific driving that focused interest on June 12th. And again, high correlation to the biotech narrative, 9 out of 10. Sagimet's a bit smaller, maybe 50-100 employees. They're based right in the heart of biotech land, South San Francisco. And they're a bit newer to the public markets, founded 2011, but only IPO'd in 2023.
And financials, let me guess. Negative EPS, negative margin.
You're learning. Yeah, same story as UroGen. Estimated EPS around minus $1.50 this year, maybe minus $1.20 next. Margins described as typically negative 500% or lower.
Wow, minus 500% margins.
Again, sounds alarming, but totally standard for a pre-revenue biotech pouring everything into R&D. They are in pure investment mode.
Right. Burning cash now for potential payoff later. And the hold period suggestion, similar.
Yep. Long term, if you believe in the ultimate breakthrough for liver disease, or maybe short term, if traders are just playing a specific anticipated news event or catalyst. They also have strong institutional ownership, 50-50%. Analysts are generally positive, rating it buy, excited about the potential of their lead program for NASH-MASH. But again, they always stress the risks and the intense competition in this therapeutic area.
Okay, so the insight for Sagimet is pretty much the same as UroGen, right? The unusual volume and price surge are the market reacting to perceived progress or potential in their clinical pipeline. Future potential drives these moves, not current profits. And the negative financials are just part of the game at this stage.
Exactly. Both UroGen and Sagimet perfectly illustrate how that biotech narrative translates into these sharp, volatile, event-driven moves based entirely on pipeline hopes, even when the current P&L looks challenging.
They really highlight the speculative, high-potential corner of the market.
Okay, let's switch gears a bit. We've seen AI infrastructure and clinical biotech. What about an example that maybe bridges multiple narratives? Good segue. There's a really interesting one on the list. USA Rare Earth, LLC, ticker USAR. This company's got a pretty unique focus. They're all about securing and processing rare earth elements and other critical minerals, and specifically aiming to build these processing facilities inside the United States. Domestic supply focus.
Okay, rare earths and critical minerals instantly makes me think of electronics, magnets, and they saw unusual activity on June 12th.
They did. Notably high volume, over 6.3 million shares. We don't have a clear average volume comparison from the source, but it's flagged as significant. And the price jumped nicely too, over 16%, from $12.45 up to $14.50.
Interesting. Now, how does this connect to our big narratives? I can see a link to renewables, maybe?
Definitely. That's the strongest connection. High 8 out of 10 correlation to the renewable energy narrative. Why? Because rare earths and other critical minerals are absolutely vital ingredients in tons of green tech. Think powerful magnets for wind turbines, materials for EV batteries and motors.
Yeah.
You need these minerals for the energy transition.
Okay, makes sense. But you said it connects to more than one narrative. Yes, and this is what makes it particularly interesting. It also has a solid 6 out of 10 correlation to the AI expansion narrative.
AI? How do rare earths link to AI?
Because these same critical minerals are also essential components in high-performance electronics. The advanced chips, the specialized hardware needed for AI data centers, high-end computing, sophisticated sensors. Many of them rely on these materials.
Ah, I see. So USA Rare Earth isn't doing AI or renewables itself, but it's providing the fundamental building blocks, the raw materials, that are critical for both of those huge trends.
Precisely. They're positioned as a crucial enabler, a key supplier, for multiple major technological shifts happening simultaneously. They're addressing a critical need deep in the supply chain.
That's a powerful position. Now, what about the company details? Are they like Oracle or more like the biotechs?
Well, the snapshot here is actually less detailed than for the big NYC Nasdaq Q companies. The source notes this might be because it's structured as an LLC, or maybe it trades with less public data available, perhaps on the OTC markets. Headquarters are listed as Denver, Colorado. But things like specific employee count, detailed financials, exact ownership percentages, analyst ratings, that standard stuff isn't readily available in this data snapshot.
So a bit more opaque than the others we've discussed.
Yeah, that lack of comprehensive public info is kind of part of the story here. It's characteristic of companies that might be earlier stage, private, or trading on less regulated exchanges.
And the investment thesis, the hold period.
The suggestion is long-term, very much tied to their project development. Mm-hmm. Their success, and likely their stock performance, depends heavily on hitting key milestones. You know, getting permits, securing funding, actually starting construction or production at their planned U.S. facilities.
And government policy must play a huge role too, right? With the focus on domestic supply chains.
Absolutely critical. Government initiatives aimed at boosting domestic production of critical minerals, reducing reliance on foreign sources, especially given geopolitical tensions. That's a massive potential tailwind for a company like this.
Okay, so the insight from USA Rare Earth's unusual volume is... it shows intense market interest, maybe even speculation, flowing towards companies that provide the fundamental inputs for the hot narratives, especially if they address strategic issues like domestic supply chains.
Right. And the fact that detailed data is limited is also insightful. It shows that volume can be driven by these big macro themes, supply chains, policy, narrative resonance, even when traditional granular fundamental analysis is difficult or impossible due to lack of public information.
That's a really interesting point. The activity is driven by the big picture story, not just the company's latest earnings report.
Exactly. It broadens how we think about what triggers these unusual volume signals.
Okay, this is fascinating. We've seen narrative-driven giants, high-risk biotechs, and foundational suppliers. Let's shift gears one more time. What about the examples on this list where the volume is just off the charts, often for tiny companies, and there's almost no public information available? These sound like pure speculation.
Yeah, now we're moving towards the really high-risk, speculative end of the spectrum. These often involve what are called microcap stocks, frequently trading on the over-the-counter or OTC markets, where reporting requirements and transparency are much, much lower than the major exchanges.
Okay, less regulated, less information. Got it. First example.
Let's look at New Era Helium Corp, ticker NEHC. The name pretty much tells you what they likely do exploring for or producing helium. Puts them broadly in the basic material sector, probably focused on industrial gases.
Helium. Okay. Now the signal on June 12th. Prepare me.
Okay. Deep breath. The volume spike was astronomical.
Right.
Over 203 million shares traded.
200 million shares for a helium company.
203 million. Yeah. The source notes that typical daily volume data isn't available, but it would certainly be significantly lower. This isn't just unusual volume. It's an absolute trading frenzy, especially for a stock trading below $1.
What was the price doing?
It jumped significantly to over 16%, went from about 49 cents, 0.4939, up to 57 cents, 0.5731, still a penny stock, but a big percentage move on that mind-boggling volume.
Okay, 203 million shares traded in one day for a company likely few have heard of, with probably very little public presence. That is genuinely wild activity.
It's an extreme outlier for sure. And when you try to connect it to our big narratives, the links are really weak. A low 2 out of 10 score for AI Helium is used for cooling and some very specialized tech, but it's niche, and maybe 210 for biotech, as it's used in MRI machines. These are very indirect connections, highly unlikely to be driving this kind of frenzy.
So the narratives don't explain it. What about the company specifics? Is there any data?
Yeah.
That's the kicker. There's almost nothing. The source highlights profound challenges here. No headquarters listed, no founding date, no employee numbers, no details on shares outstanding or the float, no analyst coverage, no target price, no reported EPS or sales figures, no margin data, no ownership details. It's practically a black box from a public data perspective.
Right.
It trades on the OTC markets, likely the Pink Sheets or OTCQB, known for minimal reporting requirements.
So forget fundamental analysis. It's impossible. You can't analyze what you can't see.
Precisely. The source actually notes the probability of the stock going higher is medium to high, but then immediately adds huge caveats. It all depends on things nobody outside the company likely knows. Exploration success, actual production levels, the global price of helium, all totally opaque factors.
Out of hold, period.
Suggested medium term if they actually start production. Long term if you're betting on helium prices themselves. And interestingly, social media rumors are noted as limited, so it wasn't apparently driven by a widespread obvious pump on Twitter or Reddit, at least based on this data.
Okay. So the real insight from NEHC's absolutely insane volume and price move on June 12th is what exactly?
The insight is that this pattern itself, the extreme volume, the price spike, combined with the near total lack of public information in a microcap stock, is a recurring phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's a classic signpost. It's highly consistent with situations where either something major and completely unannounced is happening internally, like a massive discovery, though that's pure speculation, or are, perhaps more likely, it's driven by intense, sudden, concentrated speculative interest, maybe from a small group, maybe based on non-public information, maybe just a trading frenzy disconnected from fundamentals.
And the lack of data is the key.
Yes. The lack of accessible, verifiable information is the most important signal here. It tells you that traditional investment analysis is off the table. The activity is almost certainly driven by factors completely detached from transparent business fundamentals, making it incredibly high risk. Buyer beware, basically.
It's like a flash mob, like you said. Lots of sudden activity. Nobody really knows why, and it could vanish just as fast.
Exactly. A very apt analogy.
Mm. Okay. NEHC is one example. Is there another, like, on the list?
Yep. There's Creative Global Technologies Corp., ticker CGTL, another one fitting this high-risk, low-information profile. The source guesses it's probably a small tech or services firm, maybe technology sector, but even that's speculative because, again, lack of clear data.
Okay, vague business. And the signal on June 12th, was it as extreme as the helium company?
The volume was exceptionally high, 97 million shares, still massive, though not quite the 200 million of NEHC, again, compared to a likely much lower average. But the price move here was even more dramatic. A colossal jump of over 123% in a single day.
Wow. Doubled in price.
More than doubled, yeah. Went from about 92 cents, 0.922, straight up to $2.06.
Okay, 123% price explosion on nearly 100 million shares volume for another OTC stock nobody's heard of. That's extraordinary volatility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost certainly points to intense sudden speculation and possibly low liquidity, making the price impact of buying even more extreme. Trying to link it to narratives. Very weak, very speculative. A low 4 out of 10 for AI, but only if you assume their unknown business might involve software or AI, which the source says is a total guess without more info.
And the data availability. Same black box situation.
Pretty much. Like NEHC, almost no standard public data available in the source snapshot. Trades on OTC markets. And again, interestingly, social media rumors noted as very limited or no significant. So whatever drove this, it wasn't obviously broadcasting itself online.
Fascinating. So what's the outlook or probability here?
The source rates, the probability of it continuing higher is low to medium. Suggested hold period is short term, purely for speculative plays, and it explicitly flags it as very high risk.
Right. So the insight for CGTL is basically the same as NEHC, isn't it? Another textbook case of extreme volume, massive price spike, minimal public data pointing to intense speculation.
Exactly. The source analysis calls this out as a recurring anomaly for highly speculative microcap companies, often driven by intense sudden interest. The consistent lack of information is the defining characteristic. These volume and price surges aren't buy signals based on fundamentals. They're flashing red lights signaling extreme speculation and risk.
So the key takeaway for these ultra-high volume, low-information stocks is that the volatility itself, combined with the data vacuum, is the signal. It's a warning sign about risk and the impossibility of traditional analysis.
Precisely. You have to approach these with a completely different mindset, focused on market dynamics and extreme risk tolerance, not on analyzing the underlying business because you can't.
Okay, really important distinction. We've covered the big narrative plays like Oracle, the event-driven biotechs like UroGen and Sagimet, the foundational supplier like USA Rare Earth, and now these highly speculative low-info stocks like NEHC and CGTL. But unusual volume isn't only happening in these categories, right? It can pop up in completely different sectors too, sometimes driven by totally unrelated factors.
That's a crucial point to remember, yes. The market is incredibly diverse. Unusual activity can be triggered anywhere, anytime, by factors entirely specific to a particular industry or even just one company's news, having zero connection to AI, biotech, or renewables.
Okay, give us an example of that, something totally different.
All right, how about Calavo Growers, Inc., ticker CVGVW.
Calavo Growers. Okay, the name gives it away. This is the avocado company, right? Global avocado and fresh foods business.
That's the one. Squarely in the consumer staple sector. Packaged foods and meats, specifically. Definitely not tech or biotech.
And they showed up on the unusual volume list for June 12th. The avocado guys.
They did. Their volume was notably higher, 2.4 million shares traded. Their average is usually more like 300,000 to maybe 800,000 shares. So a significant uptick in activity. And their price saw a nice jump too, almost 17%. Went from about $23.58 up to $27.58.
Okay, higher volume, decent price jump for an avocado company. But connection to our big three narratives, let me guess, zero.
Pretty much. A clear 1 out of 10 across the board in the data. This surge had absolutely nothing to do with AI algorithms, cancer drugs, or wind turbines.
So what did cause it then?
Well, the insight here is that Calavo's unusual volume and price move on June 12th were almost certainly driven by factors totally specific to their world, the world of agriculture and food. For a company like Calavo, that means things like global avocado supply and demand. Are prices spiking? Is there a shortage? Weather patterns in Mexico or California affecting the harvest? News about consumer trends and healthy eating? Commodity price fluctuations for avocados or other fresh produce they handle.
Right. Factors completely internal to their industry.
Exactly. They're an established company, been around forever, founded in 1924, based in Santa Paula, California, a couple thousand employees, listed on NASDAQ.
And their financials probably look different again, right? Profitable, but maybe lower margins than tech?
Spot on. They show positive EPS, unlike the clinical biotechs. About 50 cents this year, maybe 60 cents next year expected. But yeah, the margins reflect the tough realities of the food and agriculture business. Much lower than tech or pharma. Gross margins, maybe 10-15%. Operating margins down at 2-5%. And profit margins, maybe only 1-3%. Very typical for their sector.
Okay. And their stock performance is tied to avocado prices and harvests.
Pretty much, yeah. The source notes their performance is linked to commodity prices, harvest yields, consumer demand cycles. The suggested hold is medium term, aligning with those kinds of cycles.
So the big insight from Calavo is that even while these huge tech and health narratives dominate headlines, sector-specific news and cycles can still drive significant, unusual trading activity in completely unrelated areas. Volume spikes aren't just for the hot themes.
Absolutely. Calavo's activity, often tied to news about avocado supply or pricing, shows that commodity market dynamics, weather reports, or industry trends can absolutely trigger these signals, reminding us the market responds to a huge variety of inputs.
It's a great reminder of the market's diversity. Keeps things interesting. Okay, one more example maybe. Something else that stands out.
Yeah, there's one more that shows a different kind of anomaly. Hippo Holdings, Inc. Ticker HIPO.
Hippo. They're one of those insurtech companies, right? Trying to shake up the homeowners insurance industry using technology, data, smart home stuff.
That's them, blending insurance with tech. Sector is financial services, specifically insurance.
Okay, insurtech. And their signal on June 12th, high volume.
Yes, higher volume. 1.4 million shares traded, compared to their average, which is usually around 500,000 to maybe 1 million. So definitely elevated activity. But here's the twist. Here's the anomaly we haven't really seen yet today. Despite that higher volume, the price difference on the day was exactly 0%.
Wait, zero. High volume, but the price didn't move at all. How does that happen? That seems really counterintuitive after seeing all these big jumps.
It does, right? The closing price and the calculated midpoint price in the data were both $27.60. It suggests that on June 12th, even though a lot more shares than usual were changing hands, the buying pressure and the selling pressure were almost perfectly balanced.
Like a perfect stalemate.
Exactly. Like a tug of war, where both sides are pulling with equal force and the rope just doesn't move. It could indicate a real standoff between investors with very different views on the company. Maybe some are buying, optimistic about their tech approach and their sales growth, while others are selling, perhaps worried about their path to profitability or increasing competition in the insurtech space.
Does Hippo connect to any of the big narratives?
It does have a notable connection, yeah. Scores a 7 out of 10 for AI. Because a core part of their model is leveraging data, machine learning, maybe AI, for things like better risk assessment, more accurate underwriting, streamlining claims processing, using tech to be smarter than traditional insurers, theoretically.
Okay. And they're a newer company too, right? Went public via SPAC.
Relatively new, yeah. Founded 2015, went public through a SPAC merger in 2021. They also did a reverse stock split back in 2022 to boost the share price. So, yeah, fairly active corporate history in just a few years.
And financially, are they making money yet?
This is where it gets interesting and perhaps explains the stalemate. They fit a pattern we often see with growth-focused tech companies trying to disrupt established industries. Estimated EPS is negative around minus $2 this year, maybe minus $1.50 next year projected. Margins are also negative. They are currently losing money.
Okay, still burning cash, but are they growing?
Yes, significantly. That's the other side of the coin. They are showing strong sales growth, like 30% year over year, and impressive 40% average annual growth over the past 5 years.
Ah, so that's the tension. Rapid growth versus continued losses. Grow fast now, figure out profits later.
That seems to be the classic trade-off they're navigating, yeah. Prioritizing grabbing market share and investing heavily in their technology platform in a very competitive insurance market. The suggested hold period reflects this. Medium to long term, essentially betting on their ability to keep growing, scale up that tech model, and eventually turn profitable.
And ownership and analysts.
Strong institutional ownership again, 60-70%. But analyst sentiment seems pretty mixed, maybe leaning negative, generally hold or even sell ratings. They often acknowledge the innovative tech approach and the growth, but express real concerns about when or if the company will achieve sustainable profitability.
Okay, so the insight for Hippo on June 12th is kind of complex. The high volume signals definite investor interest and debate. But the zero price change suggests that interest was sharply divided, resulting in that stalemate on that specific day.
Right. And furthermore, their specific financial profile, strong revenue growth, but persistent losses, is noted in the source analysis as a recurring pattern for many insurtechs at this stage. It highlights the fundamental challenge of balancing rapid growth and achieving profitability when you're investing heavily to disrupt a massive traditional industry like insurance.
So the unusual volume really put a spotlight on that core tension within the stock story on that day. Fascinating how volume and price together can tell such different stories.
Absolutely. It's rarely just one number you look at.
Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground here, taking this deep dive into just one day's unusual trading activity, June 12, 2025. We explored the big market narratives pulling focus and then looked at all these different examples from the list, each telling a slightly different story behind why its volume spiked.
Yeah, it really paints a picture. So stepping back, what are the key things you, the listener, can maybe take away from this specific snapshot analysis? First, and maybe the most basic but important point, volume is a really crucial signal. Don't ignore it. When a stock trades way more than usual, it means something is happening. It's a flag waving, telling you, hey, pay attention here. Investigate why.
Right. Don't just look at the price change. Look at the activity behind the change. Second takeaway.
Second. Major narratives are powerful magnets. Those big themes we started with, AI, biotech, renewables, they are clearly, undeniably driving significant interest, capital flow, and often big price moves in companies connected to them. From giants like Oracle down to smaller players like Eurogen or the Segment. Understanding these helps interpret activity.
Okay, narratives matter. Third point.
Third, unusual activity happens everywhere. It's not just confined to the hot tech or biotech sectors. Mm-hmm. As we saw with Calava Growers, the avocado company, volume spikes can happen in any industry, driven by factors completely specific to that sector, like commodity prices, weather, or industry news.
Good reminder. What's fourth?
Fourth, and this is a really important one for risk management. Be extremely wary of extreme volume in low information stocks. For those microcap companies on OTC markets where there's virtually no public data available, like NEHC or CGTL, A massive volume spike is often not a signal about a great hidden business. It's usually a signal of pure speculation and very high risk. The lack of data is the warning sign. You can't do traditional analysis.
Okay, high volume plus no info is high risk. Got it. And the last takeaway.
And finally, maybe tying it all together, context is absolutely key. To really understand why a stock has unusual volume, you need to connect the dots. Look at the company's actual business, understand its industry, see how it relates or doesn't relate to the broader market narratives, and check for any recent specific news or events. It's about piecing together the puzzle to understand the story behind the trading numbers.
Yeah, understanding these different signals and how to interpret them in context helps you move beyond just reacting to headlines and start to develop a deeper understanding of what's actually driving market movements on any given day.
Absolutely. It adds a whole other layer to how you can observe and analyze what the market is doing.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive for today. We've really dug into this single day's unusual trading activity, explored those powerful market narratives, and examined a whole range of specific examples from the list.
Yeah, it's a fascinating reminder, isn't it? Market movements are so complex, driven by everything from these huge global tech shifts and medical breakthroughs all the way down to, you know, the price of avocados or just raw speculative energy.
Hopefully, this exploration has given you a clearer picture of how these different forces show up as unusual activity in the market data, and maybe armed you with some useful insights for how you might look at these kinds of signals yourself.
We hope so.
Now, before we officially sign off, we always like to leave you with a final thought, something to chew on based on our discussion.
Yeah, so think about this. We saw companies directly involved in AI or biotech, like Oracle or Eurogen, getting high volume. Makes sense, they're right in the middle of the narrative. But we also saw companies like USA Rare Earth, which provides the fundamental raw materials needed for both AI hardware and renewable energy tech. Or consider a company like Applied Optoelectronics, ticker AAOI. We didn't spotlight them in detail, but they were mentioned in the data we looked at. They make critical optical components, like lasers and transceivers, that are absolutely essential for the high-speed networking inside AI data centers. They had an 8 in 10 AI correlation and showed high volume, too.
Right, and we even saw helium pop up, NEHC, mentioned in the context of potentially cooling AI systems.
Exactly. So it makes you wonder, how many other, maybe less obvious industries, maybe seemingly traditional or foundational ones, are actually seeing quiet increases in activity or investor interest? Not because they are the ones developing the AI algorithm or the new drug, but because they provide the essential building blocks, the crucial components, the necessary infrastructure for these hot narratives.
Yeah, it's not just the companies making the headlines. The ripple effects from these huge trends must run incredibly deep into the global supply chain, right? Creating activity in places you might not immediately think to look.
Precisely. The next big signal driven by AI or renewables might not be in a company with AI in its name, but maybe in the company that supplies the specialized cooling systems or the ultra-pure materials or the precision manufacturing equipment needed to make it all happen. Something to think about.
Definitely adds another layer to observing the market. A great thought to end on. Okay, and now, as always, we need to include an important legal notice.
Wall Street. Deep Dives delivers content purely for educational and analytical purposes. This is not financial advice, investment advice, or a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Our analysis is based on publicly available information and personal interpretations, which may not be complete or accurate. Investing in the stock market involves substantial risk, and you could lose money. We do not guarantee any specific outcomes or profits. It is imperative that you conduct your own research and/or consult with a qualified and regulated financial advisor who can assess your individual circumstances before making any investment decisions. We assume no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content or for any investment actions taken based on the information provided. That's our deep dive for today. What did you find most surprising or maybe most interesting in this particular snapshot of market activity we looked at? Were there other connections or data points that stood out to you? We genuinely enjoy hearing your perspectives and insights. We'll be back again soon for another deep dive into listener-provided sources. Thanks for tuning in.